Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are here with your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here. Literally, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that we don't just pray to the four walls, but that you are alive and that you manifest yourself mightily on this earth. And we thank you and we just ask you now, Holy Spirit, come and apply this word of God to our lives individually. You know exactly where each other stands, where we stand, what we face. And we pray that you would just speak into our lives, into our situations. We want to open our hearts now for you, our ears, and say, have your ways right now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, we have here a very, very interesting account in Matthew 15. And you know, Jesus, who is God and was God when he was here on earth, didn't answer, and the disciples tried to send that woman away. Does that sound maybe familiar in you asking for healing or for anything else? Would you have interpreted this situation here as a no from Jesus? I think most of us probably would have. But the woman still left with her daughter healed. It is amazing. Do you think Jesus said no and then he changed his mind later on and said yes? That can't be either, because in James we actually read, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. What is going on here? This is a very interesting situation. Well, first of all, Jesus ignored her. Now, that is already bad enough. If you are ignored by Jesus, that is bad. Secondly, the disciples asked Jesus to send her away. That is not very encouraging either. If the staff of Jesus sends you away. Thirdly, Jesus says he wasn't sent for her. So he made clear, listen, I'm not here for you. That is no good either, because she was not in the covenant. Fourthly, Jesus said the children's bread, which is healing in this particular case, is for those under the covenant. So four major reasons why she should leave and not ask anything from Jesus. She was not welcomed. It did appear she was not welcomed. Now, what did she exactly say? This is the first thing we can actually already draw a lot out of it. Have mercy on who? On me, not on my daughter. Have mercy on me. She was crying out, have mercy on me. We can come on behalf of others. And her daughter's pain became her own pain. Why? This is the intercessor's heart. You know, every intercessor, when we pray for someone else, that burden, that problem, that issue becomes our burden, our problem, and we identify ourselves with that life situation and we pray to God as if this was our situation. Have mercy on me. But I want to pray answered for another person. And many times, you know, other people who can't pray, who are not able maybe, or children, they need someone else to stand in. And this is where you and I can be so powerful in the kingdom of God to pray for other people. But now, the woman from Canaan here came to Jesus on behalf of her daughter. Now, after Jesus said to the woman, she had great faith, and not to her daughter. Jesus didn't say to her daughter, she has great faith, but to the woman. The woman had faith for the daughter. In verse 28, it says, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Oh, this is a very encouraging statement after what she has experienced so far. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. On another occasion, you know, just to point out that that truth, that we can come and act in faith on someone else's behalf. Do you remember the paralytic man who was brought to Jesus by his four friends? It is very interesting. Jesus said, we read actually in Mark 2 verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith. Again, Jesus referred to their faith and not the sick paralytic man's faith. That teaches us we can exercise faith on other behalves. And then we have got other incidences where this point is pointed out, like, for example, Lazarus. When Jesus called him out of the grave, whose faith was it? It wasn't Lazarus, for sure. He was dead. So it was Jesus' faith. And then you have also, you know, Peter and John, when they went to the temple, and the beggar was there, and he couldn't walk. And then Peter said, what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up. It was his faith, Peter's faith. So this is very, very important. And otherwise, like, for example, that is also very encouraging for us, because you can pray for anyone. On the street, sometimes we do go to the streets in Peterborough, and I pray for people, and then some say, I don't have any faith. I don't believe in that. I said, it's okay. Just relax. Just let me pray for you. And then they say, okay, go on then. And then sometimes God interferes and literally takes the pain away, literally heals them. So was it their faith? No. They just said, I don't have any faith. But you know what? Through that, what's happening, what God does, their hearts towards God is softening and say, oh, wow, God really does love me, because he does, and we know it. So we can exercise faith on other behalves. Now, here, this daughter was severely possessed. Like in verse 22, we see a woman of Canaan came from that region and have mercy on her. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, this was not an easy case. It was bad. It was bad. And I actually did just last Saturday, a week ago, I was on the streets. And there were two people, one man and his girlfriend, and both suffered with depression, and especially him, he very much. And I just could sense it straight away. The source of the problem was demonic. So I asked him if I can pray for him, and he said yes, and I prayed. And then, while I prayed, I literally addressed the evil spirit behind it. And then, that would have been awesome to have it caught on camera. But after that, he said, wow. Just something. It was like when he woke up. It was such a difference. It was just so remarkable to see. He said, I'm not tired anymore. It was just something. It was just like a different person afterward. And sometimes there is many, many different degrees of, you know, like demonic influence in people's life. It was obviously depression is one of the milder ones compared to here. Because, you know, demons, they've got different ranks, different tasks, different skills, and different personalities. And they have only one intention, and this is to harm human beings, to cut their relationship with God, to take them away from God, pulling them into hell. This is their intention and nothing else. Just to destroy. The enemy is here to destroy. And then maybe just very quickly to highlight what the three different ones are. It's oppression, depression, and possession. And this is a difference. Like oppression, if you look into the Cambridge Dictionary, it says the following: a situation in which people are governed in an unfair and cruel way and prevented from having opportunities and freedom. That is a very good explanation, actually. And you know, you may remember the Israelites, they were often oppressed by their enemies in the book of Judges. And that's exactly, it's kind of an attacked from outside and not from inside, but it comes from outside, oppressed. And then depression, Cambridge Dictionary actually again formulates it really beautifully: the state of feeling very unhappy and without hope for the future. That's exactly the description of a depressed person. Without hope, you know, without joy, without happiness, that's exactly it. It can be a chemical balance sometimes, very normal, chemical imbalance, but often the source of it can be also demonic. Now, people who do... I've seen that many times now, who go into tarot cards or witchcraft or occultism or fortune telling or the Ouija board and all these kind of things, you open yourself up straight away to the enemy. And so often I've now seen in the last few years, one consequence is depression. Depression. Total depression. And then... it's demonic. So never touch these things. And nowadays, the young people, they are very much exposed to these kind of things. It's very dangerous. But then we've got possession, and this is what we have here in this text. Cambridge Dictionary says it's this way: the fact that you have or own something. If you are demonic possessed, then you are owned by the demon in a specific area in your life. And this is actually a legal transaction, even though many people, they wouldn't know. Some do it consciously and some unconsciously. Like, for example, you may remember that the Beatles, they did a conscious act with agreement with the enemy, saying, you give me success and I give you my soul. It's terrible, but this is what happened. But then you can also do things unconsciously. You know, in Uganda, just when I was there, Oh, it was, one case was so, so sad. A blind girl came to the kids club and she was 12. And we were told that 5 years ago, that made her when she was 7, she was going to school as normal and she had a witchcraft attack and that made her blind. So she saw perfectly well and she was very bright in school. And then she came home blind. That is so drastic. That is just so, so sad. And then we prayed for her. And then she could see light, like just light. Not, she couldn't see anything, but instead of dark, she could see light. And then the next few days later, I went to the club after the seminar and I prayed for her too. And I realized straight away it was demonic. So we addressed these demons, which I found out afterward, because I asked how many are of you, and there were many in there. And it was very hot. You know, it sounds now, okay, yeah, of course, yeah, Africa is hot. But, you know, when you think about it, we had a very heavy morning. It was so hot. And then this was one of the most difficult deliverance sessions I've had. And it was so long. It was about half an hour. And then in the end, the demons left her. And you could see they gone. And then I really expected her to see. But she couldn't see fully. She could see a little bit my hand waving, like moving, and she could see my blue shirt. But this is all we could go to there. And then the next day we were leaving Uganda, or the other, yeah, it was the last opportunity kind of. And for me, it was not easy to leave that girl behind, not healed. It was better, praise God. She was delivered, praise God. But she still needed a miracle. And this is, possession is a bad thing. And this person here, this girl here, was possessed. And the mother, who sees that every day, this must have been so, so heavy on her heart. I mean, it was even heavy on my heart when I don't know this. I didn't know that girl. And I just saw her. And it was heavy for me to see. Now, if Jesus treated us as he did that woman, we would have had a pity party. We would feel really sorry for ourselves. We would say, well, if God said no, then, which he actually didn't say here, then there is no point in even asking anymore. Now, the amazing thing here is actually that not one of these things stopped that woman. I really like that woman. That is amazing. That woman was so stubborn in a good way. And of course, sometimes God does say no to things. Yes, of course. He doesn't say yes to everything. But sometimes he says no. But how did that woman receive her daughter's healing in the end? On what was her faith based on? You see, legally, she had no right to ask, and yet she still moved Jesus to grant her request through her faith. That is extraordinary. In fact, only two people in the Bible we are told had great faith. It is very interesting Because these two people, one of them is a woman, and the other one is a centurion. He was a Roman. So both were not Jewish people. They were not under the covenant. And then you do need to have great faith, because it's actually not for you. That's why these two, we are told, had great faith. But now, how did the woman of Canaan do it? Let's break this down. The word of God is right and valid. The book of Romans teaches us that faith comes by hearing. Now, she heard about Jesus and what he is like and what he is teaching. Now, maybe we are not sure on that one, but maybe she heard somebody else that Jesus taught, like Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. We don't know exactly, but we do know she made a claim on God's nature and character and had faith that he would act justly. Now with that, her faith had a leg to stand on. But then she used two other tools to bring it about. Now these two things nearly always go hand in hand. She exercised enormous persistence. First thing, enormous persistence. Or do you remember when Jesus tells the parable of the friend who came at midnight asking for 3 loaves of bread? And Jesus said, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. That's interesting, as many as he needs. Anything, just take it and leave at midnight, you know. This is the picture here. But persistence! I mean, that man, he was knocking at the door, midnight, open! And everything, it was quiet. And he makes such a noise. I don't know. And then he came up. They will not stop knocking. I just go out and give him what he wants to shut him up. Persistence is very, very powerful. Now, God loves persistent people. And sometimes we need to do that as well. Like even when we pray for other people. I have done that quite often. I prayed for someone, nothing happened. And then we already give up because we say, okay, obviously nothing happened. No, pray again. I prayed again. Sometimes I pray up to 5-6 times. You know, I go as far as I can. And many times I have seen, maybe the 5th time, something is happening. And it's persistence. Persistence is very, very important. Now, secondly, that woman exercised great, great humility. Incredible humility. She received all that Jesus was saying. She accepted she was in a position of a dog. She accepted it. Which we would understand is that term to say you are a Gentile and you are not a Jew. And she did not take any offense from that. If she would have let pride in, saying, what? He called me a dog. God called me a dog. Who would have been the loser? She would have. But she did not do that. And I'm sure she could see through Jesus' eyes. Jesus is not against her. He is
for her.
And this is a very important point for us too. If we just don't see the answer straight away, Jesus is not against you. He loves you. He loves us. He is for us. But so many people interpret it, oh, God is against me. Maybe I've done something. He doesn't want to answer me. No. How Jesus talked to that woman was politically incorrect. And yet she did not take offense. We probably would have been in a depression after that. But however, that lady accepted everything and kept asking with persistence and humility. This is true humility. True humility. And this account even has been added to the eternal Word of God. That is amazing. Now, if these two people were healed who were not in the atonement, then you and I can expect much more from God, because we can look back now, by His stripes we are healed. God's answer is yes, and we need to become more persistent and not give up straight away. But you know, this is obviously, this account is now about healing or about deliverance, but we can apply that to many areas of our lives. Not just healing, not just deliverance, anything. It's the same. We need to grasp the principle here. This morning, I actually want to convey the principle of persistence and humility. Two mighty and very, very effective tools. And this is what we need to use much more in our own lives. So in summary, if ever there is a no to healing, this one would have been the closest. It wasn't, and it was even a no. So therefore, it's all yes and amen. God is for us and not against us. But I want to very quickly highlight another aspect here. If you pray for someone and nothing happens, then don't get discouraged, because you have got then a choice. Either you say, oh, it didn't work, that's it. Or you can ask the healer, why did it not work? Because in the end of the day, listen, the healer is much more important than the healing. Much more. There is no comparison. And this is very important. We need to fix our mind on Christ. On Jesus, the one who is for us. And keep in mind, you and I, your disciples, we are growing. Growing, you know, an apprentice doesn't know everything. He's growing. He's learning. If he does a mistake or something wrong or something didn't work, it's okay. Because he's an apprentice. We are growing. And that is very important. Because it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You see, well, that girl, that blind girl, I left in one sense sad. But I cast the emotional burden on Jesus. Cast your burdens on Jesus. You can't bear the burden of the world. That doesn't mean I just forget about her. In fact, I didn't. I did write an email to a pastor to seek her out, and I asked him, can you pray for that girl every week until she is totally free? Like that, until she can see again. In fact, I need to ask that pastor how it's getting on. But it is important. I read a quote by Chris Gore. I don't know him. I have never read anything about him. But this quote sums it all up very beautifully. It says, I need to learn that it's not my glory when somebody gets healed, and it's not my burden when they don't. But that is still a process. I need to learn to take that burden to the cross, just like I leave the glory with him. I leave the burden with him as well. But it still rips my heart for those that weren't healed. That's exactly right. To sum up, persistence plus humility equals faith. Very easy. She did come with persistence, perseverance, and humility, and the end product was faith. Faith gets the result. And that daughter was free instantly. So let's take that on heart, on our hearts, perseverance and humility. Let's use these two tools in everything, and God will be with you. Praise God. Yes, we leave with you. Maybe very quickly, just very quickly, you know Naaman, another great, great example. Naaman, he was in a high position, and the prophet said, go and wash yourself in the dirty river of Jordan. And he was not happy. He was not happy. He was ready to go home. But because of his servants, he had good servants. Basically, they encouraged him and said, what can you lose? Just go. You can't lose anything. You can only win. And so he did. And can you imagine, you know, to get rid of his clothes, take all his clothes off, and then all the servants looked at it, that white Swiss cheese of a body, you know, totally leprous. It was a big thing for him. And then he go down, one, two, three. He may have looked behind him to the servants who were all looking there, standing there, how their boss is having a bath. And then the seventh time, healed. Again, persistence and humility equals faith. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a good God, and we thank you that you are for us. You're not against us. And we thank you that the word of God is in our hands and we can activate it. And we thank you that you have paid for our sicknesses, for our pains. You've paid for these things, but not only that. You've paid for so much more. You have paid for other people's lives, even relatives of us who are not saved at the moment. We want to bring them to you. We want to say, please save them, deliver them from this world. Save them into your kingdom. And other mountains we face, we want to come against them in your name. And we want to ask you to deal with it. We want to just come and say, please, Lord, help us to grow in faith, in perseverance, so that we can clear out the obstacles in our lives. And that your grace, we thank you that your grace is available. And we thank you that we can look back healed by your stripes.
And we just pray now that you would really encourage literally every single one sitting in this church this morning. Please minister to every single one. Holy Spirit, come and produce faith. Come and reveal to us Jesus Christ, who paid and who is for us and not against us. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. Amen.